not only do you have to have a CDP and have that data in there and accessible and like near real time, not only do you have to have, the technology pieces, but you also have to have those internal stakeholders and like legal, like you have to have everybody on the same page so that you can execute.
Hello, and welcome to the Funnel Podcast, a digital experience podcast by Blue Acorn ICI. Each month, we'll uncover new strategies and topics to improve digital experiences. I'm your host, Sarah G. I'm the Senior Content Marketing Manager here at Blue Acorn ICI. Over the next few episodes, I'll be talking with Blue Acorn ICI experts about their specific industry experience and how Adobe Experience Platform can benefit businesses within certain industries. Today's industry focus is travel and hospitality. Our guest, Liza Francis, has extensive analytics experience within the airline, hotel, and timeshare space, and I'm excited to learn more about her insights. But before we get started, let's learn a little bit more about Liza. She is the Director of Analytics at Blue Acorn ICI and has over 15 years of hands-on technical experience. Liza is a dedicated lifelong learner focused on solving marketing challenges for Fortune 500 enterprise clients with an MBA and certifications in Adobe Experience Platform, Google, Content Square, and OneTrust. Her specialty is leveraging leading data marketing technologies and best practices to address client needs in data integration, analytics, and customer data platforms. We have so much to chat about with Liza today, so let's get started. Hey, Liza, thanks for joining me today to talk more about Adobe Experience Platform.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive more into your industry experience in the travel and hospitality space. So to just kick us right off, what have you experienced are the main problems brands within the industry face when it comes to personalizing their customers' experiences?
Oh, that's a great question. So just based on just give you some context of my background, I came from an airline background and then kind of transitioned over to hotels and eventually timeshare. So all of those things, they seem like very different, but they're all hospitality, all travel related. And they all have one thing in common, which is they have, decaying inventory. So what that means, kind of similar to even a movie theater. So, the moment the movie starts, that seat, you really can't sell it anymore. And it's the same thing for, when an airliner, when an airplane, the taxi gate, it starts taxiing away, you can't sell that seat anymore. Same thing for a hotel, right? When it comes midnight, usually you can't really sell that hotel room anymore. So that decaying inventory really feeds into a lot of the main problems that travel and just hospitality in general has when it comes to personalize those experiences, timing. So it's like very fast paced. Those hotel seats, those hotel, rooms, those airline seats, they expire. And so it's, and when you're booking travel or when a traveler is, actually on their trip, keeping up with them is very difficult, right?
Yeah.
So the timing of that fast-paced nature, like, so when you're booking, it's a little bit slower, right? You're kind of making your decision. But usually when people decide to travel, especially if it's for business, they typically make that reservation fairly quickly because they already have those details confirmed. Whether it's close in or far out. And with personal, there might be a longer lag time, but kind of understanding from a personalized experience is, are they shopping for personal? Or are they shopping for, business travel? Or could it be a combination of both where they're trying to, butt up their trip to a personal trip to a business trip, et cetera. So the timing of that is like so important. So that's where like a customer data platform really comes in and can really help you understand like that life cycle of those customers. So on a personal level. So for example, data is flowing in and understands that I typically book only for personal because I don't travel for work. That could be attributes that are saved in your profile. And so when making decisions on how to market to me, it would be everything would be kind of geared towards more personal travel, maybe further out, maybe more destinations that would be more about, enjoying your travel versus business travel versus somebody else that, they travel every month for work and they heavily care about the gathering points. They care about being close to the airport. I mean, all those type of preferences could be saved in a customer data platform and used for marketing decisions. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm just thinking about my own personal travel when you mentioned it's harder to get a hold of those customers while they're on their trip. And I know I've been sent emails of like, add food to your flight and do this and that. And I'm like at a theme park or wherever. And I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to ignore that email. I'm busy doing the thing that I paid to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like the timing of when to catch that traveler's attention is so important. And everything must be tailored, right, to their preferences. So for example, if you only like to get emails or you only like to get texts, you know, close in, like understanding those preferences and having them saved somewhere where you can mark it off of them. That's where the CDP really comes in, because you can say they prefer, you know, text, or they've opted out of email, you know, they following their, you know, the privacy, their governance things. You can have that all saved in a CDP, and then you know where to deploy cross channels. And then, you know, according to your marketing plans, you know, how to orchestrate all that to make it make sense, especially when someone is on the actual travel day. You know, if for some reason something comes up, maybe there's a major storm or something and you cancel your trip, you don't want to keep getting
right
text messages and about, you know, incremental things like, you know, upgrading your seat or something if you're not even going on that trip. So it's so important to have, you know, the booking, the reservation, the booking engine, your preferences, your data governance, what channels you're connected to. So say like if we know that you have that you're matched against, you know, a Meta profile or TikTok or whatever it is, they know how to market to you and get your attention. That's really important. And I've seen a lot of things go wrong when it comes to internally, like trying to set up that type of orchestration. I have a little story, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear your insights. Yeah.
So I worked for a major hotel client that had a CDP, so had all this information in it. Knew that when they were staying, when they were checking in, when they were checking out, knew if they had kids with them. I mean, knew the whole gamut. Had a mobile app with the ability to notify in app. So they had almost had all the pieces, right, to integrate some seamless travel-related experiences for the guests. And so we had operations and marketing come to us and say, hey, we really want to leverage, you know, mobile app, because people have their phones with them, right? We want to leverage mobile app like when they're on their stay here at our properties. So like operationally, the operations team, the people like on the ground working at the hotels, they wanted the ability to notify guests of like safety issues. So for example, if there was a tornado or a bad lightning in the area, they wanted to be able to send out like a safety notification to be like, hey, the pool is closed because of lightning. And the marketing team, same thing with the pool, they wanted to be able to leverage location or, you know, Bluetooth, like right, near field communications to be able to market to them like food and beverage type things on site. So those were two like very different use cases, but still leveraging CDP data and mobile app notification capabilities. But unfortunately, the legal team didn't want to allow the mobile app to have that granular location or Bluetooth, like near field communication, like access, even though we had all these use cases and we came to them and we said, hey, you know, this is what we want to use it for. And that, but the legal team just thought it was too intrusive to ask for like granular location. Or yeah, it was unfortunate. Or even though you have the ability as a phone user to turn it off or opt out, like, but we ran into this internal issue because location and nearby, you know, they didn't want to give it a permission within the app. So we had a whole slew of marketing and operational use cases that we couldn't even implement, even though we had the technology to do it. Like, so that was like very frustrating, but it just goes to show you how much orchestration is needed to fully get something like that onboarded. Because not only do you have to have a CDP and have that data in there and accessible and like near real time, not only do you have to have, you know, the technology pieces, but you also have to have those internal stakeholders and like legal, like you have to have everybody on the same page so that you can execute.
I wouldn't have thought about like just the legal aspect of that just from my travels. And I think just for the industry as a whole, customer expectations are so much higher because this brand is along for the journey of this really special thing that I'm spending time and money doing. So yeah, I better receive a personalized message about this. Or you, like you mentioned, you have all of this information of when I'm checking in, when I'm checking out, the activities or things that I'm doing potentially during my stay, or where specifically I'm going, that I want more of that personalized messaging for my trip. So it feels like it's this whole experience, especially for people who might not travel as much. It just kind of adds to that overall magical experience.
It can make it magical, or could not. You know, it can be
Yeah.
really a mismatch of your expectations. And like you mentioned, you know your check-in date. So having that internal reservation, having that reservations data, whether it's from an internal system or it's from, like a big Sabre or some type of a big system that exists from a third party, bringing that data into a CDP, bringing, those activities you said. So maybe you have like horseback riding booked, or you have like a surf lesson, having those activities, whether they're brought in from, some type of Airbnb experiences or like Fair Harbor or something like that, that sells like, third party experiences, having that data brought into a CDP, like all those things need to come in and be tied to your identity.
Yeah.
So that you can market to them. So that's where, the real-time CDP type of tools, especially within Adobe Experience Platform, really comes into play. It's that ability to take in data from any source. It could be voice of customer data. So you fill out a survey when you check in at your hotel, or when you get on the plane, that you said the check-in was good or something was wrong. That voice of customer data could be input, imported into, like, in real time, imported into the CDP, so that we know, like, while you're still on your stay at the hotel, or while you're still on your flight, that maybe you had some type of customer service issue. And within that orchestration, it's like, okay, well, what could we do to, reach out to this customer and make it better? It could be anything as simple as $20 off your next flight, or offering them, free wine down at the bar in the hotel. Like, it could be anything, but to have you to be able to do those marketing experiences, or to be able to upsell, you have to have the data coming in from these third, you have to have that feedback loop coming in to make those experiences magical, as you mentioned.
Totally. Yeah. Just thinking base, you live in Orlando. So I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
the
The
magic.
magic. And that I've had some really amazing magical experiences on a personal level, and also like being able to set it up with various clients where it's like, okay, this makes sense, and this is going to be, and it could be very simple or a very involved, comprehensive user journey. But no matter what, the whole point is to, keep that feedback loop going, so that it's like an ongoing thing, like building customer satisfaction, so that they come back and use your product again and again, or use your service again and again.
Totally. And like we've talked a lot about just that customer experience and then keeping them engaged. And hopefully that's leading to increased revenue and more bookings. Do you have any examples of maybe projects or initiatives you've worked on where that customer data actually proved an increase in revenue or more bookings based on past experiences customers had?
Absolutely. This kind of feeds in more to, the kind of that lifetime engagement piece, right? So I worked on a project where we were supporting a major timeshare company. And this is a perfect niche to kind of talk about lifetime engagement, because people that own fractional ownership or timeshare, they're in it for the long haul. Like, they bought in, they're owners. Like, they have property deeds, like they own part of the product. So customer satisfaction and being able to, engage them where they are is really important. Worked on a project where, it was kind of understood that timeshare owners book really far out, because, in the past, they used to buy a week. They'd buy a week at a beach house, a beach location, and they'd have that week, and it was the same week, every year. It was the same property. But a lot of things have changed, in the last, 20 years, where all these timeshare companies have made it more flexible, right? They've opened up points products where, so instead of a week, you own, a certain number of points. And with that flexibility comes with the customers are going to change their habits, right? Because now they have points so that they don't have to stay the same week every year. They don't have to go to the same location every year. They can go somewhere else, or they could use it for a cruise, or they could do something else with it. But the problem was the inventory didn't really keep up with all the flexible options that started coming out. So internally, everyone just assumed that timeshare owners booked really far out because of that, that past history. But we proved with being able to bring in booking data and website and mobile app search data and customer feedback data with a, voice of customer platform, we would have proved that, hey, people are trying to book closer in. People are, even though maybe they're still even booking further out, they're trying to search, within 90 days or with 120, they're trying to search close in, but they're not finding the inventory that they need. So they're ending up booking something further out or not booking at all, which could show, leading to disappointment and maybe frustration on their part. Or sometimes we'll show it led to a phone call. Which you don't want because that's more expensive from a customer perspective. They try to search online, they're trying to do self-service, they're trying to search, there's nothing coming up. So then they pick up the phone and they call, a customer service rep. So we were able to prove with the data within customer journey analytics, like, look, these people, they search close in, cl search close in, and then they pick up the phone and they're calling. How do we mitigate that, right? And it didn't have anything to do with customer service or changing, those processes. It had to go, it went back to the inventory. And so the company was at a certain point releasing that inventory and giving it back to the hotels to rent, to be a rental.
Oh,
So like if
wow.
somebody searched on, on like Expedia or something, they could see that the hotel was available. Like these timeshare owners could see that the hotel was available. There was availability, but within the platform, it wasn't available for them to book. So they were calling and, come, and the customer service agent rep was able to like kind of get that inventory back sometimes and be able to make the booking for them. But it was a very frustrating experience. So we learned from that data to be able to take a segment of that inventory and keep it a little bit longer. So keep it closer in, not give it to the rental companies or the third party companies that are able to use it so that for a certain segment of owners, we had closer in inventory saved for them. And then, in the CDP within, the customer data platform, being able to mark those people is like, these are people that seem to book closer in. Like that's just their
Right.
habit. And to be able to, fulfill what they're looking for was all based on gathering all that data from multiple sources and being able to prove out like, hey, this is because we're releasing this inventory, we're causing more phone calls, we're causing dissatisfaction. So if we make this small tweak, we save, a portion, a percentage, a little bit longer, it'll help with some of those issues, which was really fascinating. And it kind of goes back to like human psychology and like how people tend to book their travel and book their hotel and airline stays. It really feeds back into that.
Yeah, it's really interesting that the perception was people are booking way far out in advance. And now that you have that information to say, well, some people are, but let's rely on the analytics we have and make adjustments to the business model to have a better customer experience so they can book those experiences.
Absolutely. Like we could show that, okay, people are searching for 8 months out and they're booking 8 months out, or people are searching for 3 months out, but they're booking 8 months out. It's like, well, why are they booking 8 months out if they're searching? It's like just because of inventory alone, that is why they're kind of being forced into a travel plan instead of getting exactly what they want. It goes to show to be able to show that user behavior, whether it's in a mobile app or at a kiosk or on a website. Be able to show what their intention is and then what the ultimate thing booked is. It's really important to understand the differences there because sometimes that really highlights internal changes that you need to make
Right.
to be able to better match what your customer is looking for. Because just because they're buying the red item doesn't mean that the red item is super popular. It might be because the purple item is out of stock. You know what I mean? Like they might be searching for
Yeah.
the purple item, but they end up buying the red one just because they want it, but they're not going to wait around, that kind of things.
Wow, that's a really good, like, oh, I want to go on a trip. I want to do this, but this isn't the best time for me. So I'm just kind of gonna change all of my plans because this is what's available. I hadn't really thought about that from just a when you said like the red option versus the purple option, and that actually really interesting. As far as we've talked a lot about the hotel and timeshare space, as far as the airline industry goes, I feel like I get, and it's not a bad thing, bombarded by emails of a price drop here and just changes in prices and price alerts. Is there, could you give some insights on what's happening on the back end with the analytics you saw?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really kind of an interesting piece, and it might have, I've been out of the airline pricing world for a few years, so it might have changed. But primarily, what happens with airline prices is every airline that's a part of kind of a global pricing matrix, basically. And they update their prices anywhere from 3 to 4 times a day, depends on if they have international or just domestic flights. And they submit those prices to kind of a centralized place. And so, if, say, for example, I worked for an airline and they had a sale going out. Typically, sales go out Monday evenings. So they'll release those sale fares for however far out and whatever inventory across flights that they want. But then when those sale fares are registered, basically other airlines will make a choice to match them or not, depending on their
Oh.
inventory. So for example, if like Southwest Airlines comes out with a big sale, the next few cycles of when you can submit your fares. And that's what you update your website, you update your mobile app, you update anywhere, all across third parties. So say if you send your fares to like an Expedia or Priceline, those type of things, they all get matched. So, eventually, a sale price comes out and, everyone save flies from Orlando to Atlanta. Only one airline might have that price, but then eventually if other airlines choose to match it, then you'll see everyone has the, $89 fare or whatever it is for those dates. But it is kind of, it's not real time, and it is kind of on a like a cycle, if you will. So it's really important, for a company that can be able to understand pricing and be able to do dynamic pricing for a customer and understand, why they're searching or how close in they're searching, to be able to give them a dynamic price, depending on, it could be using, cash or points. So, the point system across every airline and across every hotel too is a pretty lucrative business, but it also needs to be managed, right? Because understanding how a customer is accumulating those points and wants to spend them, and to be able to have inventory to match, those points for the customer is so important. So, whenever you book a fare, all right, so you said you get emails. So if you've signed up for alerts or you've signed up for various airlines, yeah, you'll get like the price alerts that, okay, it's dropped. And there's a lot of really great aggregators out there that start to they do those searches to see, they have access maybe even to the back end of like Sabre, Amadeus, or to be able to see those fares and compare them and trend them out over time, right? You'll see it'll say like, oh, this is a high fare for your time frame, like so that you know to wait. But it's all based on historical data and what other people or what other airlines are posting too, right? So
So it's not based on customer profiles of saying, oh, she typically books flights within this price range. It's comparing the other airlines in the market.
Yeah, they it could be data from other airlines, because you don't want to, and that's kind of like a newer thing to be able to understand the inventory of other airlines, because every airline understands their own inventory. They know they have 50 seats that they need to sell on this flight on this day at this time, but starting to understand the inventory of the other airlines so that you can price your flights, appropriately, because you don't want to be giving away $59 flights when the other airline's selling for 400, and that's where revenue management comes in. So revenue management is, it's part art but part science, being able to understand, okay, spring break in Orange County starts, on this date, and other airlines have already adjusted their inventory to have, more expensive pricing. We need to do the same. Or maybe we don't, because we have five extra flights than they do, and we need to fill those planes. So it really depends on what you have and what you need to sell in order to, make money on every single flight. But when it comes back to like being able to do it at a more personal level for a traveler is, data like points history, like how they've used their points in the past or how they've booked in the past, having that data being fed into a CDP, their loyalty levels. So if they're, a diamond or, a premier loyalty level, understanding that in the CDP to be able to understand how to market to them. Also being able to do dynamic pricing. So if it's a slow period or less demand on that day, if you have like say an AJO, which is a Adobe Journey Optimizer, you have a decision journey set up, the customer has the points available. They've been on the site, they've searched, they've been on the site, but they didn't book anything. Their loyalty level, being able to market to them and say, hey, we see you have, 100,000 points. Go on this trip for 50 or whatever it may be.
Sold.
And especially if you have the inventory, like if they have a seat available, it behooves the airline to offer it to their loyalty members first at a point level, because they're just banking those points. So being able to use those points and those targeted promotions and offers based on all those factors really can improve customer satisfaction. They think they got a deal, they got a special offer that was personalized to them. But having that all orchestrated through like an AJO, which goes to, it could go to an email, it could go to text message, it could go to, in-app notifications, whatever channels, that user prefers to really get their attention. That's where those like that dynamic pricing can really make a huge difference. And them choosing, your airline over another one. And that's where all the brand loyalty goes. And, brand allegiance is so huge in the travel industry as well.
These insights, because I am an avid traveler and I just love hearing about the back end side of the companies that are reaching out to me for travel deals and things like that. But if you could give any advice to brands in the travel and hospitality space who are trying to take their customer experiences to the next level, what would you say to them?
One of the most important things is to build off of a use case. So having very targeted use cases based on data. So based on whether it's a customer journey analytics or Adobe Analytics or Google Analytics, based on trends that you're seeing, creating a use case and then looking at that use case. So say you want to market, so say the same airline experience that we were just talking about. Say you want to do targeted promotions to customers that have, say they're searching close in, like your use case would be very targeted. So it'd be, okay, we want to target customers that have a loyalty level of XYZ. They have points in their account and they have recently searched for travel within, 14 days or whatever it is, or 30 days. We want to target them. Anyway, you know what locations they've searched for. So you want to target them across, multiple channels, depending on their preferences, and actually working backwards from that. So you have this use case, you want to burn points. So say as a company, you want to have a use case that uses customer points and builds customer satisfaction. So after you have like that use case all dialed in, kind of what parameters you want to use, then you go back and you look at all the sources that you have access to, bringing in those sources into a CDP. And you probably already have a lot of them in there if you have a CDP set up, but making sure you have the right attributes and data to be able to segment and target off of, and then creating your audiences or creating, pipelines to AJO to be able to leverage all those attributes to be able to target to them over, a series of campaigns. So kind of going back to those use cases is having a very, and then and being then being able to use that data, the analytics data, to say what's working, what's not. Say, oh, we're targeting them, we're sending them emails, we're sending them texts, but nobody's doing it. Trying to find out why, so you have to have kind of that feedback loop of discovering what works, what doesn't, but starting out with a very solid use case. I see a lot of clients that don't really have a use case. They know they want to market to them. They know they want to email people. They want to send them ads, but they don't have a dialed in targeted use case in mind, I think that's a really good place to start. And even if it's simple or not that many, having a targeted use case can really drive incremental value and lift if you know what works. So kind of then coming back to, okay, this is working. We're going to keep doing it. And maybe so if that use case really worked well, maybe we'll do, a different use case, but it's, slightly tweaked. So maybe still we want to burn points, but this time we want to target them really far out. So we say, hey, you have 100,000 points. You can book with our partner that has a cruise line, that kind of thing. But it's a different use case, but it's still the goal is to burn points and build customer satisfaction. But if you have a partnership with a cruise line or something like that as an airline, you could leverage that use case to expand their travel experience and hopefully make it a good one.
Yeah, and it feels like you're offering something new to the customer too, of, oh, I'm used to just using you for this thing, but now you're
Yeah,
adding this
exactly.
additional
Yeah, you're
value.
giving them more value with their point. You're teaching them that they can, use those points for even other experiences, whether it's travel, like tours or cruise or something like that. And then it just brings you back to that allegiance to the brand or loyalty to the brand, especially if, say you always have to travel on a certain airline and, you've got a ton of points in there, but for them to be able to use it for personal travel and, it just builds that customer satisfaction and allegiance even more.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, thank you so much, Liza, for joining today. Your industry experience within hospitality and travel is so, it runs so deep, and I had no idea. Just, you work at Blue Acorn ICI, but you come from a lot of different backgrounds, like a lot of our other experts do. So it's really great to hear your insights on this specific industry.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I really appreciate it. And it was really fun to talk to you today about travel and hospitality and how it relates to, real-time CDP.
If you've enjoyed this episode of The Funnel and all of the insights we've shared, share it with your friends. To learn more about Liza Francis or Blue Acorn ICI, visit the links in our show notes for more information. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, be sure to follow the podcast and give it a 5-star rating and review. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.